If you live in Sydney, there's only one breakfast show worth listening to. A show that celebrities beg to be on. A show that knows Sydney better than it knows itself. A show you can't ignore. Unfortunately, Carl and Jackie are on holidays. So instead, you might as well listen to the Radio Chaser Breakfast Show.
Yes, indeed. Good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past six on Triple M. I'm not quite awake. Dom Knight here. Craig Rucastle.
Somebody broke Dom.
Charles opening Firth. Strong. Opening strong there,
Andrew
Dommy.
Andrew Hansen here. And Zoe Norton lodges with us for the third show. She was going to be here for the first two, but she wasn't well. Are you feeling all right, Zoe?
Oh, look, I have been a little bit crook. And as you can probably hear in my voice, I actually sound like a lilting soprano compared to how I've sounded the last couple of days, but I haven't had the luxury of getting used to getting up at this time of the morning yet. So kind of an interesting morning. It started with my phone face recognition software not recognizing who I was. And I was like, you know you're tired when the phone is like, who is this? Who is this woman? But then I got up, it was about 3 a.m. I got up and I was clunking around the house trying to get ready because I was unprepared. And I woke up my baby. And I went into the room and for a second I felt terrible. And then I was like, you know what, buddy? How does it feel? How do you feel being woken up at 3 a.m? And I felt really vindicated. And then I left and my partner had to deal with it. So, all in all, it was a win. Yeah.
And was your baby alarmed because he didn't recognize who you were?
Exactly. He did look a little horrified. I'm not sure it's because he didn't recognize who I was or because he didn't know why anybody would be waking him up. It was a combination of factors.
I do love the idea that your facial recognition software doesn't even pick up who you are at that time.
It's pretty insulting, isn't it?
Yeah. I hate that. I never understood that stuff anyway. I'm glad you're here, Zoe. Well done.
Coming up,
it here.
We are looking for Sydney's longest commute. Have you been a Santa? You could win. We've got more hams to give away and your chance to win a $5,000 home entertainment.
Zoe, we give away ham.
I'm very excited about the ham.
Oh, can I win the ham? I'm quite hungry. I'm going to skip breakfast.
You work here. Radio Chaser with you for summer breakfast on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. As we settle in for 3 hours with you. Isn't it lovely having the long 3 hours instead of the one we've been doing?
It's good to have 3 hours with people, isn't it? Although you wonder, does anybody listen for 3 hours?
I certainly don't.
I'm going to leave it on in my baby's room. Maybe it'll send him back to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. You just got the baby. I've noticed you've got the baby monitor there, Zoe, in case you have to leave during the show.
Yeah, well, look.
Yeah. But I was wondering, what is the longest period that somebody would have to listen to this show? Because nowadays the commute is getting so ridiculous. Mm. The traffic is so ridiculous. It could be that you force, maybe this show's not long enough for the commute anymore.
That's true.
You know, people are driving much longer than 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right. Well, actually, if you get on the M5 East, it's longer than 3 hours, even if you have a really short commute.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always a crash.
It was a good idea when they built that tunnel to put radio reception down the bottom. I mean, it gets interrupted constantly by, there is a traffic jam on the M5, as though you can't see it out the window going on for miles. But yeah.
I think that's our main competition for radio at the moment, is that the warning in the M5 tunnel.
The ratings were amazing.
But we can find out who is having to listen to us? Who's forced to listen to us the longest by having the longest commute?
Yeah. Because I've got a friend who commutes from Wollongong each day.
Yeah, that's fairly long. So what would that be? I reckon it's about...
No, but anyone who has a long commute always goes, oh, no, mate, no, it takes like 20 minutes. You just get up at, 1 a.m.
And
you're in there by, 3. So it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that maths does not work.
And as long as I leave at 12:40 in the afternoon, before the afternoon traffic starts, I'm home in time.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So, give us a call. If you think you've got the longest commute, just tell us where you're going from, where you're going to, and how long it generally takes.
Yeah.
And then add on the extra hour for the M5 tunnel.
Yeah, who has to listen to this show the longest? Look, I'm just going to say I've got a primo ham for the best call. 1-3-3-5-3. The longest commute in Sydney, is it you? We want to hear what you put up with every morning.
Is your commute so long that you could finish the primo ham in the drive?
Ron from the Hunter Valley, hello to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How long is your commute?
2.5 hours from the Hunter Valley to Eastern Creek.
Oh, jeez.
And just a question, listening to us, how long does it feel?
It doesn't feel like 2.5 hours. It goes quick. The drive doesn't worry me. I feel for the people that are stuck on the M5. I mean, that's got to be the worst direction to go. I mean, at least I'm covering ground,
Exactly.
I only hit traffic, Pennant Hills Road, and that's it. I mean, they crawl. I've seen them crawling Oh, geez. Almost from Campbelltown to the city, you know what I mean?
I'm like that too, Ron. I will take a long cut. I'll go an extra like 50 kilometres just to avoid ever having to slow down in traffic.
Mm.
Like it's like the Google Maps is yelling at me going, what are you doing, idiot? I'm just like, no way I'm slowing down in traffic, mate. I'll go on the footpath if I have to.
He does the same taxi thing driver.
He does the same thing at red lights as well. Let's go to Nathan in Penrith. Hey, thanks, Nathan, Ron. How long's your commute?
3.5 hours yesterday, mate.
3.5 hours?
One way.
So where from,
yeah,
to?
Sydney to Singleton yesterday.
Sydney to Singleton. So you're going the other way to Ron and it took 3.5 hours. Was there traffic or was it just that's just your normal?
Yeah, same thing. Took Van Hills Road and then it was great after that.
Mm. Yeah.
And people, just out of interest, why don't you just move to Singleton?
Yeah, or Melbourne, you know. Like, I've been living in Melbourne. It takes 3.5 hours to get to Sydney.
Yeah, so between the two commutes, that's a 7-hour work day in the car just getting to work. You've lost him. Oh, we'll go to Peter in Newcastle here. Peter, hello. How long is your commute?
10 hours, all up.
What? How does that work for you with your life?
Start at midnight, mate.
Start at midnight.
Where do you go from and to?
Newcastle down to Eastern Creek, Penrith, back to the markets.
So you spend the whole day driving, do you?
But is that your job is driving, not the commute, right?
Yeah, driving.
Oh, that's cheating. I think. I mean, that's to be fair to Peter, it's a bit cruel to him to ask him this question. How long's your commute? Because if he never actually gets there, his commute is from his home to his home, and it takes him 10 hours. It's good. I tell you what, we should give you a ham anyway, Peter.
That's a long time to spend in Sydney traffic. Yep, make Christmas worth remembering with a Primo Christmas ham on the bone. We'll send one your way, Peter, and look, I'm really sorry you got to listen to us for 3 hours, but thank you.
But at least you get 7 hours of something better.
At Twinings, we have a blend of full-flavoured tea for every hour of the day. You already love our blends of morning tea, traditional afternoon and Australian afternoon, which is just like traditional afternoon but with a refreshing hint of chicken salt in it. But what about for those between tea time cups of tea? Introducing our brand new, most time-specific blends yet, including our brisk and lively mid-morning 11:43 a.m. tea and our lively and brisk 12:59 p.m. tea, the perfect drop to enjoy before our 1 p.m. Australian lunchtime tea. Or why not enjoy our new anytime range, blended especially for the workplace, including our I'm only making this tea to delay my meeting with Sharon from accounts tea. Or our I'll have to drink it black again because all the milk in the office fridge is off tea. And our I don't even like tea, but I've already had 6 cups of coffee today and I couldn't be f***ed going back out to buy a 7th tea. Twinings. One perfect blend of tea sold under 78 different names.
Radio Chaser. Triple M. Now, guys, I don't want to bring the mood down, but I've been flicking through some headlines this morning and there's been quite a serious incident that I feel like we should address on this on this program. Meghan Markle, prepare yourselves, has broken royal protocol.
Oh my god.
One headline has said that she has in fact fallen from grace.
Whoa.
I know. Just take a moment, but can you guys have a think about what do you reckon she's done?
What do you think she's done? What protocol has she broken?
Well, yeah, what's she done to?
Has she killed a swan? It's always about swans.
Yes.
It's always royal protocol. No, hang on. Maybe has she not killed a swan?
Just the image of Meghan Markle killing a swan is quite something, isn't it?
Act, to be fair, though, that would probably justify the headline. Yeah. Like if it's like, Markle just killed a swan in front of all the cameras.
Did she not laugh at one of Prince Philip's racist jokes?
That's against protocol.
That's
a good one, Philip.
No, that's a great guess, but no, that's not what she's done this time. It's far worse. It is far worse, guys. You're not thinking bad enough.
It's something to do with the staff, isn't it? It'll be something like she didn't allow the roast carver to carve the roast himself or she opened her own umbrella rather than having the royal umbrella opener do it for her.
Look, everyone needs a job, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't tell me. She didn't go to one of Prince Harry's dinners and forget to dress as a Nazi, did she? I hope. I mean, that would be very poor form.
Oh no, I mean, she's never forgotten that. Goodness.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's very hard. Those protocols are very hard. Does somebody actually tell them to, or does she just find out by stuffing them up every time?
Big royal giant book of protocols that you have to memorise.
So what has she done? What has she done?
Okay, are you guys ready?
Yes.
Just take a breath. Everyone's sitting down. Okay. Okay, guys. Meghan Markle wore dark nail polish.
No, that's it. I'm out.
No.
So what,
how many news stories? I mean, is she in the Tower of London now? Like, what happened?
No one's heard from her, seen her since. This is a crime beyond anything we could have possibly imagined.
There's been a lot of talk of tensions between her and Catherine, you know, William's wife. Could this be why?
Yeah, well,
she nicked the nail polish.
She nicked the nail polish. The dark. This is a disgrace. I mean, if Australia doesn't become a republic now, now that she's worn dark nail polish,
we were just waiting for that one final reason to push us over the edge. Republic campaign starts here on Triple M Sydney. Exactly. Dark nail polish, we will not have it.
God, I don't mind if she kills a swan, but if she's going to wear dark nail polish, that's a disgrace. Yes, and in great new Catholic news, I think most people would have seen this story. It's a great story about these two nuns in America who have embezzled $500,000 from their local Catholic school they worked at to go on gambling expeditions to Las Vegas. It's such a great story.
I mean, it's amazing to me that the school had $500,000 to embezzle. What's different to mine?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not a crusty, sir. So what happened?
So they've embezzled $500,000 and then gone on. They continually go to Vegas on gambling expeditions.
And do they like drive in a convertible car? Like, is it like a movie? Like,
this is the plot of Hangover 4. I really think this should be solved. You want to get this?
Here's the question. Are they on a winning streak? Can they pay it back with some interest, pay their fine?
No. This is the thing. They've actually had to write a letter to the school expressing remorse. Can you imagine having a kid at a Catholic school constantly just getting letters in the mail expressing remorse for the latest scandal?
Yeah, because the loophole with Catholicism is if you confess and you feel guilty about it, then
it's fine.
Yeah.
That's the same rule I have with pokies.
Yeah. So how many nuns are in on this? Is it the whole convent? Is there like a gaggle of nuns? Or
is that the collective noun for a group of nuns, Andrew?
It's a naughty of nuns. It's just... How many are there?
Sounds like an adult movie.
It's just two nuns, two best friend nuns.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
See, how would they have hatched this together? Like, well, imagine being the first nun to suggest it to the other one. Like, Sister Mary, I've got this idea. What do you think? I mean, I'm not sure, but we could steal $500,000.
I bet it was confession. One of them took confession from the other and she said, "Sister, I'm considering stealing you $500,000 and going to Vegas to play the card." The other sister went, "Great idea."
Yeah. No, she said, "I've just taken $10,000 to go to Vegas." She goes, "Why don't we make it $25,000? And we'll get a better place next time."
They'll compass.
Is the idea that they, you know, because you bet on red or black, you know, because they wear black, you know, habit, did they just bet on black the whole time? Is that why they lost all the money?
I don't know, Charles, but that's a very stupid idea. But I mean, it's just surprising. Does anyone
I've been cheated by a nun once. I think I was anyway. No, I think I was. Like, my wife and I visited this convent, right? It was in Spain, so it's a bit different from Australia, right? Because when one's a celebrity, one visits Spanish convents on holiday. And I saw this sort of jar of jam by this really old doddery nun, and I gave her like a 20 note, and you know, the jam only cost one, and she just didn't give me change, and I felt too guilty to ask for the change because it was a convent. So we just walked out. And then one of the locals said to us, "You're an idiot. They deliberately put the doddery old nun there to deliberately not give you change, knowing that you
wouldn't ask for it. As you left, that nun just ran out to Vegas.
Tell you what, though, these two nuns owing $500,000 to their local school, they're going to sell the movie rights for $10 million. They're going to make it all back.
Parramatta to Hornsby and all the suburbs in between, except Thornlie. We're off them. Summer Breakfast with Radio Chaser. 104.9 Sydney's Triple M.
So I've got a show on Friday night, the Seymour Centre. Still some tickets available. Warren 2018.
You're joking.
go to chaser.com.au/war2018.
Yellow card, that's a warning.
Anyway, so look, I had to
I'm only happy to sell the Liberal government on this show.
So I had to get a haircut.
Yes.
Right. And normally I get like a $15 haircut.
Yes, I can't do more than $20. No, it kills me.
Exactly. But my wife said, look, you're balding. Well, you're not balding, love.
Broke it to you.
Yeah, she went, it's getting a little sparse up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you need to get an expensive haircut. You know, you're going to be in front of hundreds of people.
Expensive haircuts don't solve balding.
No, she said it's totally different. Like a really expensive, like she spends more than our mortgage on each haircut. I mean the entire amount that we borrowed to buy the house per haircut. Like that's my wife's attitude. But she said, no, there's a real difference. Go along.
Mm.
So I went to Tony and Guy downstairs. Mm. $115.
$115
for one haircut.
Charles,
and I didn't even get,
Charles,
you know.
I don't want to say this to you now, but You've had the anti-balding haircut.
No,
already.
And what I'm going to say is it works. Like, don't you think?
Just lucky it's not a visual medium right now, because otherwise.
Yeah, I love the way that artfully they've blended the visible skin with the fused strands of hair. It's like an artistic comb over, is what it is.
What do you mean? No, it totally. So, don't you think that? Because before you could sort of see I suppose you can still.
Just try a mirror. You know what? It's not that you have more hair, but what you do have is $115 less money.
Well, speaking of $115, I went to the very same place, Tony and Guy, for a funeral. I was speaking. I looked a bit straggly. I just wanted my head shaved. I was like, look, please, I've got to go to the church in a couple of hours.
Mm.
Just would you shave my head?
Yeah.
And the guy said, oh, look, I can do that, but it's going to be $115. I said, come on, it's going to take you 5 minutes. Please just charge me $20, $30, whatever. And he said, no, you don't understand. I'm a creative director.
Yes.
My rate is $115. I can't change it for you or your funeral or whatever it is because I'm a creative director.
I'm just glad, though, Dom, because when you said you also went, I thought you were going to say, I wanted them to give me an anti-baldness haircut. I was going to, now that I want to see.
There's a lot of scalp available onto my head. I know I'm just the buzz cut every time. It's good.
Yeah. But you know what? Like $115, cry me a river, quite honestly. I feel for your wife, Charles, because nobody is going out there. No women are going out there saying, please, I'd like to spend $700,000 on a haircut. It's just kind of the going rate. And I actually had, I don't want to make you fellas jealous, but I have the opposite problem. I have like incredibly thick hair.
So
I kind of want to, to shape it, you kind of need to thin it out a little bit. And I went to the hairdresser the other week, and without consulting me, they tried what they described as like an 80s technique that they swear is coming back, quote unquote, which involved taking chunks of my hair in the middle and cutting it right at the scalp. So if you run your fingers through my hair, you've got sort of hair and then a bald patch, hair than a bald patch.
Oh,
and
that's the same as Charles.
And I paid like something approaching $300.
You are.
It's
actually one of the great sexisms of haircuts. One of the most entrenched bits of sexism in the country is that women and men take totally different amounts.
Yeah, look, let's do this. Let's go to the phones on this. We've got to have two categories. We've got to have male haircut. Can you top $115? Female, can you top the $300? Sydney's most expensive haircut.
Really? Seriously? You could top 300?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I reckon we could get, I don't know if they're on listening right now, but I reckon you get $400.
Yeah. No way.
In the shade.
Yeah. Hey, if my wife's listening, can she call now?
1-333-53. Best caller gets not only a ham, but tickets to Paul Kelly. Talking about expensive haircuts. And look, Charles paid $115 for a baldness minimising haircut. Mm. It didn't. Zoe paid $300. Why are women's haircuts so much more, Zoe? What do they do?
Extortion. But there's a few other things. Basically, like, often you go into a hairdresser, the first thing they do is they might give you a glass of wine. So you're already a little vulnerable to paying a little more money. So you have your glass of wine, you're having a chat, you're kind of all relaxed. They put you in the chair, they start shampooing your hair, they give you a massage, and as they're massaging your hair, they'll be like, now I'm just looking at your scalp, I feel like you might need a insert fake pseudoscience name treatment. And you're like, I think I do need that. And by the end of it, you've had treatments, you've had conditioners, you've bought, a bunch of you know,
you've
extra products.
You've had some heroin.
Yeah. You've had a lot of heroin.
You've got a timeshare apartment in the Gold Coast.
Yeah, yeah. You've been playing the stock market for a week, and then you wake up in Vegas and you try to win it back with some nuns.
This is quite shocking to me because I really look at Just Cuts as being too expensive. So this is quite revealing.
Let's go to the phones and find Sydney's most expensive haircut. Wayne in Camden, how much did you pay?
Well, I went to get a voucher for my partner of $200, and the girl over the counter looked at me and just basically said, "What do you expect to get with that?"
Is that fair, Zoe? $200, forget about it.
Look, I can't speak for all women getting their hair cut, but yeah, no, $200, you wouldn't necessarily get the whole deal done for that.
Would you get half?
Yeah, you can get half your head done for $200. Yeah. I think that's what I did, actually.
Yeah, exactly. It pays for the wine, at least, yeah.
What did you do, Wayne? Did you pay more, or did you think of another present?
No, I just took the voucher and thought, well, she can make the difference up herself.
Fair enough. Let's go to,
what a romantic.
Let's go to Ben in St. Clair.
What
Ben,
a how lucky lady.
Ben, what did you do? Tell us about your expensive haircut.
Hey, Chasers, how you going? About 15 years ago, a mate of mine, we had to go bail out his girlfriend at the time. They took her in, gave her the full treatment, the wine, the glitz, the glamour, all the treatments, and held her to ransom for $700.
And
wouldn't let her leave the premises until we turned up and actually handed over the money. They threatened to call the police and everything. Like, just to give perspective, at the time, my mate's car wouldn't have even been worth $700.
I know. That's like a long time ago. That's nuts. That's extraordinary. I can't believe they actually trap people in there.
That's more than I paid for my first car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're getting ready for a runner. That girl standing at the door and everything. It was horrendous.
The tasers probably. Hey, what happened? Did you pay it?
Yeah, I had no choice. She threatened if we didn't pay that they were prepared to call the police.
That's great, man.
And I imagine the police would have arrested them, surely.
Well, at least with the court appearance, you'd have really nice hair.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Annie in Mossvale. Annie, how much Sydney's most expensive haircut is the topic?
Ring you guys and just let, this is probably not qualifying as a haircut, but I have braids in my hair and that costs about $800 because it's 8 hours work. So, and in comparison, because I'm from Africa and where we get it done, it costs me about $35.
So that's when everyone goes to Bali and gets their hair braided, is that because it's cheaper with the flight?
Yeah, but that's different because it sort of looks a bit ratty, the stuff that happens in Bali, because what they do is they actually braid your own hair, whereas what in Africa is an extension, so it really looks quite like a bit of art, literally. Wow. I mean, I've got a photo to show you what, and there's no comparison. And it lasts in your hair for 2 months, so you don't have to do anything.
2 months. Still, but, 200, two yeah. months. So it's like $400 a month on hair. Okay,
that's extraordinary. Yeah. All right, what do we think, guys?
I think we should really give Annie the ham. She can't afford to buy her own ham.
Congratulations.
You said it's a bit of artwork. You better be. You should hang it on the wall at the end of that.
Yeah, I know. I should send you guys a photo of the ham on my hand then.
Love to see it. Yeah, well done. You've won the Primo leg ham. Make Christmas worth remembering with a Primo Christmas ham on the bone. Would you like some Paul Kelly tickets as well?
I would love them.
Yeah, excellent.
There you got them as well. It's hitting Sydney for the very first time at the Domain. Paul Kelly's Making Gravy. It's this Saturday. Tickets are on sale at ticketmaster.com.au. Thanks for calling.
Do you find the music on Triple M too loud and aggressive? Want something more suitable for your yoga practice or blissing out in the float tank? Make the switch to our new, more relaxed station, Triple Om. Wake up gently with the Chill Team.
Hello, Sydney. How's your energy flowing this morning?
And astral travel home with Kennedy Mellow.
Ah, Jane. Had the most wonderful Reiki session this morning. Oh, baby.
On Triple Om, there's no rush hour with NG, but there is shush hour. And keep your third eye out for our Chakra Patrol combis, handing out cold hard crystals and icy cold cans of massage oil. Triple Om on FM Digital, or just tune in directly via your immortal consciousness.
Triple your mindfulness. Triple Om.
Radio Chaser with you for summer breakfast.
Yes, and tomorrow morning at 6 a.m, it's not only Radio Chaser's fourth day of breakfast radio, possibly more important for some people, the HSC results coming out tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. People get their results. I'm quite frightened by this because My son is year 11. This means 1 year from now is going to be when he's getting results. And it's interesting because I like the way in the lead up to the ATARs coming out, all the newspapers have got this approach. It's all about going, hey, guys, it doesn't matter, right? Mm. So it's about all these stories of, you know, like, hey, look at this guy. He got three and now he's a millionaire. And I reckon it's true. It's actually quite good to see these stories. Mm. Although I think with my son, maybe he needs some more encouragement the other way. Like, hey, you know, but it still might be good to, you know, occasionally read a book or attend a lecture or look in class.
It must be very confusing to spend your entire life being told that it is the most important yeah. thing in the world. And then one day it just yeah. completely flips and it's like the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
Before my my HSC exams, I actually used to sit down with other girls who were doing them with me, and I would braid their hair. Right, that's how we come down. And now I'm realizing, yeah, I should have charged $800 for it. I could be that millionaire now.
Exactly, because literally the richest person I know that I went to school with totally flunked the HSC, failed totally.
You know what you got to get really good at if you want to be a millionaire? At inheriting wealth. That's what you got to be really good at.
I always get very guilty when on this day because my family really screwed up for my little brother. He was traveling when the results came out. We opened it. We read him the numbers on the phone and then lost the piece of paper. We never found it. He never didn't bother going and applying for like another copy. It wasn't on the internet.
He doesn't even really know.
He doesn't. I think he knows the overall number, but had no idea what he got.
This shows people how unimportant it is. You know what I mean? You just lose it. It doesn't matter.
I mean, personally, I'm actually hoping my neighbour's son is doing the HSC this year, and he's the main babysitter for our kids. So I'm really, really hoping he bombs out big time because otherwise he's going to go off and get a career or something like that. I want him to be stuck as a babysitter for the rest of his life.
The other thing that's good to know is that once you get your results, you're allowed to say what your result is for about a day or two before it becomes completely gauche. Mm. So you actually, it doesn't matter because nobody, once you turn about 18 and a half, nobody will ever
nobody
ask
cares.
You again.
But we do have some advice for those awaiting the 6 a.m. results tomorrow. Good luck.
A patronising message from the Education Standards Authority. As everyone knows, the rest of your life depends entirely on your Year 12 results. What you can do is all up to your ATAR score.
I got 99.95, but only because you can't get 100. What can I do?
You can spend the next year telling everyone you got 99.95 because you're too nerdy to have people skills.
I got 75. What can I do?
You can choose from a range of dreary tertiary courses.
What if a course needs more than 75?
Don't worry. You can still enter those courses by making sure your parents are rich and live in some other country.
Excuse me, but as someone with an ATAR score of 99.95, can I just
go
say...
Go away.
I got one of those stars they give you when the marks are too embarrassing to even write it down. Am I screwed?
Of course not. You can study arts. Or if you're a real thicky, you can be in charge of the Sydney Light Rail Project. Year 12 results. There's a depressing career for you, whatever mark you get.
Did I mention I got 99.95?
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Now, Craig Rucastle had a great idea the other day. If you've got a breakfast show, like we do for 2 weeks, you should be able to get some stuff made, some merch, some special stuff. And our dream was a beer.
Beer! Beer, beer, beer!
Given we are doing this breakfast radio thing, we should really leverage it. You know, whenever people have radio shows, they always get shit made for them. You know, like chips or pies.
Oh, what can we get?
Well, I'd rather something that's a bit more alcoholic is the word I think I'm looking for.
Beer. I've always wanted to make a beer.
You've always wanted to make a beer?
Yeah, like a chaser beer. But it's got to have a good idea behind it.
The idea of just beer is not enough for you?
But the idea that I've got that I think would make us a lot of money is... baby formula beer. And you sell it to China. One for daddy, one for baby. One for daddy.
For beer.
The way you put together a beer, you actually have to do some market research to find out what the punters actually want.
What flavour do you think it should be?
Chorizo.
Chorizo?
Beef.
Bacon?
Yeah, why not?
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, dear. What about a kale beer?
Just put some beer with some energy drink. Bob's your uncle.
We haven't settled on the actual beer yet, but what we have got is someone who might be able to give us a hand. Oscar McMahon is on the line from Young Henry's.
Oh,
you know
great.
That beer from Newtown that's in all the pubs. Oscar, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Oscar. Oh, geez. Well, this is great news. I love Young Henry's. If you could make us a beer, that would be really good. Something that goes down well at 9 a.m. when we finish work.
Well, you know what? A large part of our... of our day is actually the morning tasting. So the idea of beers for breakfast is not foreign to the brewery at all.
Really? So you've got quite a good job going there. So you come into work, have a few beers, and it's work, and it's tasting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's science. It's analysis.
Do employees get in trouble if they're not drunk at work?
Yeah, actually. It's work health and safety applies to every workplace except brewing. It's actually the opposite. We wear low vis. Everyone has to wear black.
So you had the same idea as us, sort of a few years ago. You wanted to have your own beer. How did that happen? How did you make Young Henry's come to life?
Look, you know what? I think a lot of it was blind ambition and stupidity, very strong driving forces. And the other thing is, I think everyone has this desire to either own a pub or make a beer. You know, there are two things entrenched in Australian culture. And look, we were just stupid enough and foolhardy enough to actually get it together and have a go.
And what I like about you guys is because we've had some pretty stupid ideas so far about what to put in it. Charles had the baby formula beer idea, where meat lovers beer and that. And you go, oh, no one's going to be able to do that. But I noticed that you actually have a hemp IPA. You've got hemp in beer. So I reckon you guys are the guys to help us out here.
Yeah, well, look, I think that if you've got the backbone of a really well-made beer, you can actually add in other ingredients. And as long as you have, you know, traditional beer ingredients in there to balance out, it's all going to work.
Is it too far off to have a beer-flavoured beer? Is that sort of just too wild nowadays?
No, I'm not. You know what? That's not a bad idea. We could make a beer, sort of simmer that down, make sort of like a beer consomme, and then inject that into a new beer.
I love it.
So can you put pretty much anything in beer? Are there things that you've tried that have really failed?
Yeah. Look, yes, absolutely. You can put almost anything into beer, but you've got to be careful of, you know, proteins, oils, fats. They will affect the head retention, and you know, the head is a really important part of the beer experience.
What's your worst experiment been at Young Henry's?
Funnily enough, years ago we made a kombucha.
And you're in Newtown, of course you had to.
But this is we're going back about 5 years now, and it was a complete flop. Absolutely no one was interested, no one liked the vinegary taste, anything like that. If we'd have made it 2 years ago, we'd probably be a kombucha company by now, you know?
In the Venn diagram, though, Oscar, of people who like beer and people who like kombucha, is there any crossover whatsoever?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, you know what? Actually, that's a very good point.
I'm looking at your website now, Oscar, the Young Henry's website, and I can see you've got a beer called Motorcycle Oil. How much actual oil is in that thing?
Well, look, most of that actually steamed off our brewer's clothes, so I would say a fair percentage.
All right, this is very exciting. You can help us out, you think?
Yeah, I reckon we can get something going together.
Great. All right, we'll try and come up with an idea that's good enough for Young Henry's to make, and we'll get back to you soon about that, okay?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Wonderful.
Well, we haven't locked off on the vision yet, but just to give everyone a sense of what's going through our heads, here's an idea we had earlier for our very own Radio Chaser beer.
You've tried communion wine.
Holy parishioner, sip this wine and it shall become the blood of Christ.
So why not try communion beer?
Scull this beer and thou shalt partake in the pub crawl of Christ.
Brewed to the exacting standards of the remaining priests in Australia who aren't yet in jail.
Blessed be the brewmasters.
Communion beer leaves a distinctly bitter aftertaste, just like the Catholic Church itself.
Oh, that's extremely bitter.
Transubstantiation never tasted so good.
I'd like to confess, I love communion beer.
Communion beer. Plus, instead of communion wafers, why not try our communion chips? Deep fried for that perfect body of Christ crunch you've been waiting 2,000 years for.
I'm coming to communion every Sunday from now on.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
Breakfast cereal or glam rock band.
That's right. You've probably all heard of this quiz before.
Yeah. How does it go? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm going to read you out the name of it, and it'll either be the name of a breakfast cereal or a glam rock band. And all you have to do is decide whether it's a breakfast cereal or a glam rock band. It's very easy.
Yeah, I think I've got it now. I think I had it at the name.
Yeah, so hang on. It's a breakfast cereal or what was the other thing?
Glam rock band. You know, like those 1970s.
Got it now. Got it now.
What's a breakfast cereal, Justin?
Okay, Craig, I'll go you first. Yes. While you're still remembering what the game is about. Milk and cookies. Is that a breakfast cereal or a glam rock band?
Or is it a trick question? It's everything sold in America. I'll go breakfast cereal.
It was a power pop band from Long Island, New York, active during the 1970s. Ha! And it played with the Ramones and Blue Oyster Cult.
Do we play them on Triple M?
No. Okay. Oh, next one is Zoe. Zoe.
I'm ready.
Freakies.
Freakies. I reckon it is going to be a cereal that came with like a little toy.
Yes. You're totally right. 1974. See, Zoe's good at this game, Craig.
Shut up.
Freakies were a gang of seven weird little creatures with warts all over them.
Hang on a second.
That's a glam rock band.
Yeah, exactly.
Warts are good protein.
I've forgotten. I thought you were talking about a glam rock band, but that's still a weird thing to have as a cereal.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to get up in the morning and go, let's eat those little freaky wart people.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do. If you're in 1974, that's what they did.
Well, that's why it's not still a household name today, why you can't get Freakies at Coles.
The Freakies included Boss Moss, Snorkeldorf, and Ham Hose.
So
you could probably win one on Triple M if you stick around long enough.
And is the idea that they all give each other warts? How did this warts infestation happen with the poor freakies?
Well, I think the manufacturing process made them look like warts. So they went, hey, I got a marketing idea. We'll call them freakies and people will buy them.
And make children eat them. Yeah.
Can we track down the person that invented that product?
Okay, that's a great idea. Okay, Dom,
You're
next. Mm-hmm. Fruit Brute. Was it a breakfast cereal? Or a glam rock band.
Or a deodorant. Fruit Brute. Yeah. I think it's a glam rock band.
Incorrect. Oh! Fruit Brute was another long line in the monster cereals. And it was werewolf-shaped fruity snack. And it went alongside Count Chocula and Frankenberry.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I love that people were basing their daily nutritional needs on Fruit Brute every day. Like, I attribute my fine figure to eating Fruit Brute every morning.
Five serves of Fruit Brute a day. Now, Andrew, last one. Mm. Yeah. Okay, this is really hard, this one.
Yeah.
Crunchy Logs.
I would dearly love that to be a band, but no, it's come on, it's a cereal. Crunchy Logs is a cereal. There's no band.
And they were. They looked like they were brown logs.
Brilliant.
And with the mascot Bixby Beaver.
I've got one for you, Charles. Glam rock band or cereal? Wheat-Bix.
Oh, that was a band. That was a glam rock band.
So, Sydney, they'll probably build a casino in the middle of it. Radio Chaser, the Summer Breakfast Edition.
Yes, Charles Firth, Craig Rucastle, Andrew Hansen, Zoe Norton Lodge. My name is Dom Knight. It is time to go hunting across Sydney as we've done every day this week. This is your chance to be in the draw to win a 4K home entertainment prize pack, including a Heos wireless multi-room music system. Thanks to the Predator on 4K Blu-ray, DVD and digital from the 12th of December, the hunt has evolved.
I hereby declare the Radio Chaser hunting season open.
Today, of course, being the 12th of December, so it is out today.
Yes, and we've been hunting for different people. We've hunted for people attacked by animals. I think there was one by somebody attacked by a pelican.
Yep.
We've also hunted for people who actually purchased stuff off Demtel. We discovered that people do cut their shoes in half.
Mm. And today, can I say, a chat with Tim Shaw of Demtel coming up very soon on Triple
M. Wow, okay.
We'll track him down.
And also, now I think today, though, in the festive season, I think we're on the hunt for people who've been Santa. People have dressed up and done the Santa job. If that was your job...
Well, what are you saying about Santa?
I'm saying that.
What do you mean people dressing up?
No,
as...
I'm saying because Santa is real, obviously.
Yeah, okay, the impersonators of the real Santa.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
This is the thing we had to explain to my kids because there are 12 Santas in every shopping centre is that there's a real Santa and occasionally impersonators that go around.
Yeah, like a tribute band. 13353 if this is you, by the way. But I believe we've got a Santa in the room.
Yeah, well, I've been a Santa.
Yes. Were you the real Santa? Or
for many years, I played the Christmas Santa at my local childcare centre, like my kids went to.
That's relieving to hear.
And the first time, I did it, my son Hartley was, he would have been like 2 or 3 years old. He was completely into it. And he thought that Santa had actually arrived. Mm. And it was a very convincing performance, of course.
Because of your acting style.
How did you get into character? Merry Christmas. I am here. So we did the whole Santa thing. And then strangely for him, it must have been, we had to leave the toilet and take him home. And I couldn't get changed anywhere. I had to just go out dressed as Santa. So he'd go, Mummy, why is Santa coming with us? He was terrified. So all the way to the car, he was just grabbing onto his mum's leg, going, why is Santa following us?
So hang on a sec. So he really loves Santa until Santa goes home with his mum.
With his mum, yeah, exactly.
So that would ruin the magic if Santa went home with your mum.
And so I get into the car. I'm in the driver's seat. And we've strapped him into the thing. And then I take off the beard and the hat. And turn around and go, hey, Hartley, look at this. I'm Santa. And his brain, there was just a pause and his brain exploded. Yeah. Like he had no, like it was just, I'll never forget the reaction on his face where it's sort of like, my dad is the real Santa. Like that's what he thought.
I was in a shopping centre the other day and I saw something quite sad, which was a Santa on the, looking for kids to take a photo with, but there were no kids around. And he was kind of like putting his arm out. He had a little helper with him to try to kind of lure people in. And I felt sorry for him. So I gave him my 10-month-old to take a photo because I just couldn't leave this lonely Santa by himself, bereft of children.
I thought you were going to say, so you sat on his lap. Okay, Santa, I'll sit in your lap.
No, I'm going to throw my kid to the wolves there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, if you've been a Santa, 13353, if you're the Santa that Zoe's talking about, we've got a prize. But not any Santa across Sydney. We're on the hunt for you. 13353. Let's go to Gary in Canley Vale. Hey, Gary, tell us about being Santa.
Yeah, I was 17 years old. I was working in a hotel as an apprentice chef, and the guy that was supposed to be Santa decided to go home early, and they were looking around for a guy, and when you're 17 and an apprentice, you don't have any choice. Yeah, so 65 kilos, ring him wet, standing there with 8 and 9-year-old kids that are like half your age, you're like, yeah, this is not the day that I was expecting at the end of it. So,
You would have need a lot of makeup to make a 17-year-old look like Santa.
Yeah, I was baby-faced Santa for sure. Mm. I don't even think I was shaving back then.
Yeah, the sad thing about this is that Gary really wanted to actually meet Santa, and then he got told he was being Santa.
Sit on your lap.
That's great. Well done. You haven't gone on to that in your later career, though. You've given up your Santa role, hey?
Yeah, that's it. I'll leave that for the old guys with the beards now.
Yeah.
Yes, we're looking for people who play, of course, the real Santa, Alex, on the Central Coast. Hey, Alex, tell us about being Santa.
Good morning.
Well, where did you put on the red suit?
I was actually working at Bunnings at the time, and I did it for about 4 years every Christmas. And you can appreciate being in the hottest place in Sydney and deciding to put on an even hotter suit is the smartest idea in the world.
Are there a lot of kids sitting on Santa's lap at Bunnings?
It's more just running around. You're handing out lollies to them to make them hyperactive for their parents when they go home.
Oh, that's a good thing. I'm surprised because I thought you only went to Bunnings for the sausages. I'm amazed you go for Santa as well.
You don't want to bring Santa and sausages into the same thought.
On lollies, there's not a problem.
What about onions? Did you have onion injuries during that time at the Bunnings?
No, actually, I didn't. Nothing major anyway. This was probably about 5 years ago, so that was before the whole onion controversy.
I can't believe there's so many young Santas out there. This is great.
Yeah, junior Santa.
Except for Charles, of course.
Except for Charles.
Bringing the age right up.
Well, look, I think on behalf of the parents of Sydney, you've done a fantastic job giving lollies to kids and making them hype. Alex, congratulations. You are in the draw to win a 4K home entertainment prize pack, including a Heos wireless multi-room music system, thanks to The Predator on 4K, Blu-ray, DVD and digital. From today, the hunt has evolved. We'll also give you a copy of the film on Blu-ray. Congratulations.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done. It's funny, you know, Charles, you talking about the fact that you freaked your kid out by, you know, taking off your Santa uniform in front of them.
Yeah.
It's like I saw a story yesterday, which is like that Chris Hemsworth tells his children, right? So he doesn't, you know, I thought, what's the cute lie he tells them? So they don't know that he's a movie star. Mm. There's a cute lie. I thought he was going to tell them he works down the shops or at Coles or something. Mm. The cute lie that he tells his children is that he's actually a superhero, so they think that he's Thor, the actual superhero. So that's how they misled. It's like, that's the only way you can tell a cute lie, which is actually talking yourself up.
You know what would be really scary, though, is if on Christmas Eve the real Santa comes down your chimney, takes off his clothes, and it's really Charles.
Looking for a quality wine? Look for Yellowtail.
Mmm, the bouquet has some hemp notes.
Harvested from age-old vines, grown smack bang in a massive pot farm.
Oh, I must say, this Shiraz is some seriously good shit, man!
The perfect wine for quaffing, not from a glass, but a fine crystal bong.
The Chardonnay's got a kangaroo! It's got a kangaroo on the label!
Yellowtail.
Whoa, this cork is not made from cork. Heavy.
Australia's finest marijuana.
Oh, I got the munchies. Oh, I got to get to 7-Eleven for a cheese platter with quince paste, man.
Remember, get baked responsibly.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Now, yesterday in that segment, we just did The Hunt, which is on again tomorrow, by the way, your chance to win the $5,000 home entertainment system. We were talking about Demtel yesterday, and we were all looking back on Tim Shaw, the man with the amazing set of pipes in all those ads.
Mm.
We're wondering, what's he doing now? It turns out he's doing quite a lot. He's on the line now. Tim Shaw, good morning.
Very good morning, you wonderful Chaser team. So good to be with you.
Good to be with you. So what are you up to now, Tim? We were wondering, you're not still doing the ads, are you?
No, look, from selling steak knives to Canberra Press Gallery. Yes, I'm a host of commercial breakfast radio here in Canberra. And I'm also a member of the board of the National Press Club of Australia, the most talked about club in Australia.
Very nice.
And we love chatting, and that's what we do.
That's great. And so when you're talking about politicians, though, do you have to say, but wait, there's less, but no one wants more?
No, that's a really good point. And it's kind of interesting because the current crop of 226 or so politicians have all kind of grown up watching a bit of infomercial television. So, I got a few head turns when I turned up, and it was like, I wonder if he's offering a money-back guarantee. And Canberra is a cool city, guys. It's the cool capital. It takes you 20 minutes to get around.
Yeah, you're not selling that to him. Let's try, mate.
So when politicians do the backstabbing in Canberra, do they use Demtel knives?
It's a really good point, and they're guaranteed never to need sharpening. But the old King's collections of knives, guaranteed never to need sharpening. Do you know I sold a million of them?
A million?
Oh, my God.
A million.
Wow.
I sold a million knives, and there was no internet back then. You guys were embryos when I was selling on television.
Did you have to audition for the gig, and did they come up with, but wait, there's more, or was that one of yours?
Yeah, really good question. But Wait, There's More had been going for like 20 years in America, and they tried to do it here in Australia. But wait, there's more. And the owners of Demtel, which means demonstration television, I bet you didn't know that.
Oh,
wouldn't it be cool? Demonstration television. Wouldn't it be cool if there was an Aussie guy, remotely good looking, hello, you know, with a nice, bright, kind of orange-coloured, burnt orange jacket, could get on there and spruik the knives. And I love the opening line. Have you got a dull, blunt set of knives in your kitchen drawer? Well, I've got the answer for you. The King's collection of knives, guaranteed never to need sharpening. Call us in the next 15 minutes, but don't send any money. We'll bill you. And don't forget that 100%, no questions asked, money back guarantee. It was syrupy and it was sincere, but it worked. A million knives, 600,000 classical CDs, and I never sold a product that I never used myself, but I must admit I ran into a problem with the run-free pantyhose.
And are the King's knives, do you still have those knives?
I still have a set of King's knives.
Have you ever sharpened them?
No, I haven't, because don't need to be sharpened. I mean, if only policies in Canberra are like the King's collection of knives, they actually did what you said. No, really good product and really proud to have sold a million of them.
Pantyhose aside, serious question, Tim. What is the worst product you ever sold on Demtel?
Do You know, it's a great question, Zoe. And the reality for me was the products that we sold were really value for money. So were they the melee of kitchen appliances? Certainly not. But the reality is, I reckon it was one of those like grating machines, and I couldn't put all the bits together to make it actually grate live on television.
Did you get people hassling you in the street, like complaining about the products they'd bought, or did they generally just asking you to say, but wait, there's more?
Or, but wait, there's more, where are the knives? Or, Demtel, man, I lost my entire identity. You know, I've been seeking counselling ever since. Instead of being Tim Shaw, nice guy from Sydney Northern Beaches, grew up there surfing, I suddenly became this alter ego, a.k.a. the Demtel man.
Tim, finally, yesterday we got a call from someone who bought a lot of Demtel stuff with her flatmates, getting a bit pissed, and they tried out the vacuum cleaner with the bowling ball. How many people do you think who bought Demtel and had a couple back in the day?
I reckon that's a really good point, that they've got broken toes because sometimes someone unplugged the lead in the wall. And how many people got their bowling balls out and got the sucking action really working?
That's so true.
I think that basically people did it for the ridiculous part. So the people that called up yesterday had done it because they wanted to cut through the shoe or pick up the bowling ball. Nobody got it for the real reason. They just got it for whatever was the dumb example.
But to be fair, it did look like that was the real reason when you were watching the Demtel ads. True. Yeah.
I tell you what, Tim, when I hear your voice, I just want to pick up the phone and buy stuff. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
You chaser team rocks.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
The way this works is I've got some news stories here. Our panel of Andrew, Craig, Charles and Zoe will tell us if they are cat's pyjamas, meaning good, or cat's piss, meaning bad. Let's start with a bit of breaking news, actually. Australia's space agency, just been announced, will be based in Adelaide. What do we think of that idea? Adelaide is the headquarters of our space-bound future.
Well, I suppose it means that it'll be quicker to leave Adelaide now. So that's good.
I think that's very fast to get out. Yeah. And it's a good place to launch an enormous great big rocket. Like you just put it in the middle of Adelaide and blast the engines and then the whole city's gone there and the thing's off into space. I think it's fantastic. It's going to be spectacular. Mm. Cat's pajamas.
I like Adelaide. This is cat's piss. I can't justify why.
can we trust them though? Isn't this the same place that had like a freeway that went one way and then they had to close it down a few hours later to make it go the other way? We're going to trust them with our space related problems.
When I think of cutting edge technology, I don't think Adelaide.
Yeah, because isn't that where they made the Collins class submarines?
This is going to be the biggest disaster.
The noisy submarines.
Yeah.
Now, if you wanted to develop sort of acid barrel technology, Adelaide's your place, but I don't know about the space agency. All right, now a bit of traffic news here. A driver towing, this is also from Adelaide, a driver towing Santa after a country Christmas pageant has been fined $300 for having a Santa as an unsecured load on the back. Is that fair enough?
Was it a real person dressed
as Santa?
Yeah, a
real person dressed as Santa.
What do you mean towing? Like, what do you mean? Like they were jet skiing?
There's a float. Like a float. Santa's on the float being towed behind.
Does somebody go through the Mardi Gras and say, you pull up everyone and go, sorry for dancing on the back of a truck without a seatbelt? Mm. This is cat's piss. This is ridiculous. What's Australia coming to? If you can't have Santa on the back of a trailer and driving through town, then Christmas is over.
It's in a town called Morgan, and so the cop's waiting outside the police station. The float comes past through the main street. He goes, $300 so we can get right a ticket.
This is an outrage.
I think that policeman should be on the first space rocket out of Adelaide.
All right, moving on. Speaking of space programs and high tech, now someone had a dream of a sex robot brothel. They wanted to raise $123.
Someone had a dream, Tom.
Someone had a dream. Okay.
How did you find this on Google? Like, what were you searching for?
But look, the thing is, £123,000 was the target. The problem is, they only raised 1% of the total.
The whole
Westworld idea where there's sex robot brothels everywhere.
Mate,
no one actually wants that.
Don't come to us for money, mate. Just go back to the internet, okay? Look, this is.
Well, you know what the problem is? They didn't offer hams. If they'd offered the ham to people who donated, they would have easily got the money.
So does this mean this sex robot brothel isn't going to happen?
No. It was going to be called Eve's Robot Dreams, but unfortunately, they're going to have to stay dreams.
Radio Chaser on Triple M, the Summer Breakfast Edition. So Sydney, that E-tag sound effect
Just charged your e-tag to listen to it.
Kids love Coles Little Shop range. So now Greenpeace has released its own range of fun-size collectibles so kids can enjoy learning about the deadly impact of plastic. Collect them all.
I got a turtle who's choked on bubble wrap because it mistook it for a jellyfish.
I got a sea bird who got fatally entangled in a supermarket bag.
I saw you a whale that starved to death because its stomach is full of plastics it can't digest. For a plankton that starved to death because it swallowed microplastics it can't digest.
Learning about plastic has never been so plasticky.
I got a miniature version of a Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
That's not a miniature, it's 1 kilometre wide.
Yeah, it's 1,000 times smaller than the real thing.
The Greenpeace Little Collectibles range. Collect them now, then throw them in the garbage so that other kids can learn about them when they get washed up on the shore.
Washed up dead albatross right next to this real washed up dead albatross.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.